Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Banfield, and this is Drop Dead Serious. What happened to Lily and Jack Sullivan? Two little kids, gone without a trace. This is one of the most confounding mysteries that Canada has seen in many, many years. Six-year-old Lily and her four-year-old brother Jack vanished from their home in rural Nova Scotia in broad daylight, and there seems to be no explanation. It's a mystery that is gripping millions of people who have followed this case since the beginning, every detail. The story has investigators searching for logic where there is none, because kids don't just vanish into thin air. Lily and Jack weren't taken from a crowded mall or a busy playground. They disappeared from their home, a small trailer on Garrelock Road in Lansdowne Station, Nova Scotia. It's a quiet, rural stretch about 87 miles northeast of Halifax, the capital city of Nova Scotia on Canada's east coast. Lily and Jack's home, a small trailer, is an area surrounded by woods and gravel driveways and just a handful of other neighbors. They shared that trailer with their baby sister and their mother, Malaya Brooks Murray, as well as their stepfather, Daniel Martel. Just a few yards away on the same property is a small trailer where Daniel's mother lives. Police say Lily and Jack might have wandered off, but that theory doesn't seem to make sense because there were no footprints, no scent trail, no clothes, no toys, and no sign that two little kids ever went outside that trailer at all. And yet somehow, Lily and Jack Sullivan just vanished. To understand this case, we have to go back to the beginning. It started quietly on Wednesday, April 30th, 2025. Lily and Jack had what's called in that area a pedagogical day. Basically, it's a day where kids stay home from school so that teachers can get their administrative work done. Nothing unusual about that. But the next morning, on Thursday, May 1st at 6:18 a.m., the school got a message through the attendance app, and it said both kids would be staying home for another day. Their mom, Malaya Brooks Murray, said that they had a cough. At 2:25 that afternoon, surveillance video showed the family, Malaya, Lily, and Jack, walking through a Dollarama store. And that is the last confirmed sighting of the children alive. That night, about 9 p.m., Malaya said she tucked them into bed wearing the same clothes that they'd been wearing earlier that day. Lily was in a pink sweater, pink pajama pants with white shapes on them, and a Barbie top. Her little corduroy backpack decorated with strawberries was not far away, right nearby. Jack wore black sweatpants, a t-shirt, and he had a pull-up. That's totally normal for kids his age going to bed. The next day, May 2nd, is the day the children vanished. So it started off as a normal day, according to the family. The morning alarm went off inside the trailer at 6:15 a.m. Malaya logged into the school app again and marked both kids as sick for a second sick day. She later told police that at some point that morning, Lily and Jack woke up their baby sister. And then, suddenly, the house went silent. By 10:01 a.m., Malaya was calling 911. She told the dispatchers that her children were gone. And when she described them, she said she thought they could be possibly undiagnosed autistic, that they were known to wander, and that their boots were missing. 26 minutes later, officers with the RCMP, that's the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, arrived at the house. That's a national police force that often serves as the authorities for rural small communities. Malaya's partner, Daniel Martel, told the investigators that he had already been out looking for the kids, first sprinting outside before jumping into his car, driving around the back roads, and then running through the nearby woods looking for these kids. He said that he'd been at it for hours. He admitted he didn't bring his phone and he never looked at the time. But that afternoon, around 4 p.m., three family members who were out searching made a key discovery, a pink blanket caught in some tree branches low to the ground, a little over a half mile from the house. Police showed a photo of that pink blanket to both of the parents. and the parents confirmed it was, in fact, Lily's blanket. The RCMP seized it. They brought that blanket in for tracking dogs, and then they scoured the area, but the dogs did not pick up a scent. It was mystifying. Over the next several days, the case exploded into one of the largest search operations in Nova Scotia's history. Ground search and rescue teams spread across the fields and the forests. Underwater recovery units were dragging the ponds and even Lansdowne Lake, but nothing surfaced. No further information. Then on May 4th came another puzzling clue. Just 2 days after the 911 call, investigators found another piece of that same pink blanket. It was stuffed inside a trash bag at the end of the family's driveway. The RCMP sent it in for forensic testing, along with several other items. But later on, the police confirmed the analysis was complete, yet that every test came back inconclusive. By May 7th, after 5 days of searching, officials made a distressing announcement. The operation would be scaled back. They said based on the weather and the terrain and the amount of time that those children had been missing, the likelihood that Lily and Jack Sullivan were still alive was, quote, very low. As part of their investigation, officers questioned the children's biological father, Cody Sullivan. He lived in New Brunswick, another province. He said he hadn't seen the kids in nearly 3 years, but he passed a polygraph test, and the police cleared him. Both Maleha Brooks-Murray and Daniel Martel also volunteered for polygraph exams. They did that on May 12th, and according to the police, both were found to be truthful. In court documents, an RCMP investigator even stated, quote, at this point in the investigation, Jack and Lily's disappearance is not believed to be criminal in nature. I do not have reasonable grounds to believe a criminal offense has occurred, end quote. In interviews throughout the months of May, Daniel Martel told the CBC News that he believed Lily and Jack must have slipped out through a sliding door in the back of the trailer while he and Maleha were in the bedroom with their baby daughter, Meadow. But the RCMP say there's no confirmed evidence that anyone saw or heard those children leave the trailer. A few residents of Lansdowne Station did report a suspicious vehicle that was heard driving back and forth near the home on the morning that the kids vanished. But investigators said they found no physical proof of any vehicle activity, and no driver was ever identified, nor was any car. In a curious development, Maleha Brooks-Murray left Daniel not long after the children's disappearance. She took her infant daughter and left Pictou County altogether, moving in with her mother. She then blocked Daniel on social media and reportedly has not spoken to him since that time. Also since that time, Daniel Martel has been the only parent to consistently speak with the media and appear publicly and do on-camera interviews. By June 19th, 6 weeks since the disappearance, the Nova Scotia government stepped in, offering up to $150,000 in reward money for any tip that could break the case open. Police kept searching again through July. Another sweep of the woods. Another dig around the house. Nothing related to Jack or Lily was ever found. Investigators began quietly hinting that they were no longer certain this was a case of, quote, wandering children. Daniel Martel insists that Lily and Jack must have been kidnapped. He told the CTV News, quote, they can't go forever. Everyone's exhausted. 100 days isn't enough. I just want to find them. He said he's fully cooperated with the police, handed over his phone, taken lie detector tests, drawn maps for investigators. He said he spends every night searching. He described one clue he can't shake, a single small boot print found near the edge of their property. Searchers swarmed that spot, combing the ground for hours, but nothing came of it. By September 19th, cadaver dogs from British Columbia were brought in to search the forests around Lansdowne Station, a move requested by the family. The RCMP emphasized they found no evidence that the children are deceased. But their stepfather, Daniel, spoke to CTV News about the cadaver dog search. Take a listen to what he said.
Are you thinking that the dogs will go in there and won't find anything?
I know for 100% they won't find anything.
So what do you make of the fact that they are bringing the cadaver dogs in?
Well, I'm actually pretty happy about that because it's been about 3 months I've been asking for them. And it's just been delayed, I guess, till now. But I know things take time and dogs are hard to get.
So what does this say to you? Because, I mean, they are dogs searching for human remains.
Well, I know that it's going to be really hard work now that there's so much vegetation in the woods, but I'm pretty happy that they're going to be able to do it. I even hope that they bring more than one dog if they have access to more than one dog.
So what are you happy about? What do you hope this will bring?
I would just like to see maybe the social media speculation, theories and accusations, maybe they're not going to stop, but slow down, because at this point they're getting ridiculous.
So are you thinking that the dogs will go in there and won't find anything?
I know for 100% they won't find anything. I mean, that's probably why they waited this long to do it. It's just to keep the public informed, I guess, that they're hard at work.
Do you think it will rule things out?
Yeah, I think it will rule a lot of things out. Rule out that the RCMP are, you know, working hard and there's no human remains on the property.
Is there any piece of you that's preparing for the fact, like, what if they do find something?
No, because I didn't do anything. I know Malaya didn't do anything. I know my mother didn't do anything. Those are three people on the property. I mean, after the polygraph exams, they should have known right there. We didn't kill any of the kids, or we didn't kill the kids.
Why do you think that they're not possibly, like, why that they didn't possibly wander into the woods?
Well, with the amount of resources that were used, and I mean, for everything from drones to helicopters to classified technology and all the searchers on the ground, I mean, searchers on bicycles, they did everything. On the pipeline, they took in ATVs and Argos and side-by-sides. They used everything they could.
Tell me about, what do you make at this point of the investigation of what RCMP have been doing or not doing? What's your stance on all of that?
Well, I would like to go in for another whole round of polygraph exams. I mean, that would be, and maybe bring some new people in that are doing the polygraph exams. But I know they're hard at work. I've filled notebooks with just trying to help them find leads or give them any kind of small detail, answer as many questions as I can, or, you know, but I'm doing everything I can. I usually try to meet with them 3 times a week, and sometimes they're not around for that, or phone calls or texts, but whatever we can do.
So I guess to bring it back to the cadaver dogs, since you've been asking for it for so long, I guess, you don't have any information on how that will happen?
No, I don't. I don't even know where quite they're going to start searching or where they're going to do. Are they going to expand out onto the properties? The property there is fairly small. It's only 2 acres. So.
Yeah. Will it be the whole 8.5 that they searched previously?
I don't know. That's a lot. That would be quite a few. That'd be a couple weeks probably on foot doing that.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you look at the documents, and you know, some of the other stuff RCMP has said or done, there's 70,000 drone photos that were taken during the search. That's a lot of photos. They had to review and do everything. So they would have found some kind of something there. Or even when they brought in classified technology, they, you know, scanned the whole area. They ever found a beaver and a coyote. That's all they found.
So why do you think this step is necessary?
Well, it just rules out one and brings the book a little bit closer to being closed. I mean, one chapter at a time.
How have you been doing?
Well, I'm not going to say I'm doing well, but doing better than I was at the start, I guess.
It's
physically exhausting, mentally exhausting, emotionally exhausting, but every day you wake up and it's a new day. New hope. Just keep going forward.
Tell me about the toll, like what you were just mentioning earlier about social media.
Social media has been quite a circus, we'll call it. But I can't control them, and they're free to judge. But maybe just use a little bit of this before they start typing or use an AI for pictures.
I mean, we're coming up on, is it coming up to 5 months?
Yeah, in the second, so yeah, it's less than 2 weeks.
Like, did you ever imagine that we'd be here still talking about this?
No. I thought with the amount of resources and amount of different units for RCMP working on it, everything from dive teams to canine units and social, they have dedicated teams just for social media. They have a dedicated guy that just sits there and watches highway cameras, so.
What's it been like for you now that we're back to September, school's back, and like seeing the school bus go by every day?
Yeah, no, it's hard. There's quite a few school buses that go by, and there's a lot of kids in the area I see, and sad. It's not just sad for Jack and Lily, but it's sad for everybody who knew Jack and Lily. They had friends, they had went to school, and it's just, they had teachers that seen them every day, and it's just hard on everybody.
I know we ask you this every single time, mm-hmm. but why do you keep doing it?
For Jack and Lily. I don't do this for myself, because I'm gonna see this online later and people are gonna analyze it. Every time I move my hands, every time I open my mouth, every facial expression, they analyze everything right down to a T. I know that.
What would you like the public to know?
I want the public to know, if anyone has any information, just please come forward. Call the RCMP, call your local police department, call Crime Stoppers.
Do you still think they're still alive?
Yes.
RCMP later confirmed they didn't find anything during the cadaver dog search. No human remains, no trace evidence connected to Lily or Jack. Now, one final effort is being called a last-ditch search before winter. A volunteer group called Please Bring Me Home is planning a large-scale operation on November 15th, focusing on nearby waterways under what they call the misadventure theory, a theory that the children may have wandered off and become lost. Nick Oldreve is the executive director of Please Bring Me Home. He says his team was contacted by the children's paternal grandmother, Belinda Gray, but also by quote-unquote associates of their mother, Maleha Brooks Murray. Mr. Oldreve told reporters, quote, "This is likely the last chance before snowfall hits." Belinda Gray, the paternal grandmother, also spoke with reporters. She said, "The waiting has become unbearable." She remembers the winding drive to Lansdowne Station and the first time she saw where her grandchildren had been living. She said, quote, "When I saw it for myself, I thought, how could the kids live here?" She says her relationship with their mother, Maleha Brooks Murray, had grown distant after Maleha moved to this area, Pictou County, where cell service was spotty. But she says just weeks before Lily and Jack disappeared, Maleha called her, cheerful and apologetic, saying that she'd bring the kids for a visit. But that visit never happened.
Lily is 6 years old. Jack is, well, he's going to be 5 years old this month.
Belinda Gray can barely speak through the tears, describing the children she hasn't seen in years.
The last time they were here, they were still basically babies. Lily was four. She was such a carbon copy of me. She copied everything I did. And Jack was more sober. He was just crawling around the floor, learning to walk.
It's been 2 years since Gray last held Jack and Lily Sullivan, and months since anyone has seen them at all.
Your grandchildren are what? You leave this world? They're a part of you?
When Lily and Jack went missing, Grace says she joined the search herself.
We started working our way up through the woods along a brook. And then we crossed over the brook. And we started coming back down through the woods.
For Gray, hope quickly turned to suspicion, especially after their mother left the area.
When I found out Malaya left, I knew there was no sense searching anymore. It started making me think, I don't think these babies wandered off.
She hopes police can bring her closer to the truth.
I hold them all accountable. I don't know how two kids can go missing.
RCMP say they combed through every possible lead, but Gray feels police could have acted faster.
I don't care what the criteria is for an Amber Alert. When you have vulnerable children missing, it should be an automatic alert.
Every day, Gray checks her phone, hoping for a message, a post, a headline, anything saying they've been found.
To see if there's any new family members coming out speaking. And that's off and on all day. That goes on right until I bend.
When Lily and Jack vanished, Belinda, the grandmother, joined the search herself, walking creeks and train tracks near the home. Since then, she says contact with Malaya has completely stopped. But even as communication within the family broke down, Malaya hasn't gone completely silent. On a Facebook page called the Find Lily and Jack Sullivan page, Malaya has been posting updates. In one message on October 13th, she wrote, "As a mother, I love my children more than life itself and feel so heartbroken not being able to hold my two children, Lily and Jack, kiss them, breathe in their scent, or tuck them into bed." She went on to say that, quote, "The longing I have for them to come home, back to me, is a greater feeling than I could ever imagine," end quote. Adding that there isn't one single day, minute, or second when she's not thinking about them. She wrote that she's, quote, "truly traumatized," and, quote, unquote, "desperately wants them home," saying, quote, "I will never stop searching for my children until they are found and brought home safe and sound. Someone, somewhere knows something," end quote. 2 weeks later, on October 26th, a new post appeared on the Find Lily and Jack Sullivan Facebook page, confirming that little Jack would be turning 5 on Wednesday, October 29th. This episode is being released on Jack's birthday, Wednesday, October 29th, 2025. The message announced a candlelight vigil to mark his birthday, held outside the Stellarton RCMP detachment to honor both children and keep the search in the public eye. So, what could have possibly happened to Lily and Jack Sullivan? I know where you're going. I know what you're thinking, because if you're like me, you immediately think about parents first. That's what police do too. And then you start branching out to the possibility that maybe a stranger did this, a boogeyman. It's really hard for police to imagine that a boogeyman just comes and takes our children. But they do. They really, really do. I remember learning that all too well in several of the cases that I've covered, not the least of which was Elizabeth Smart. I mean, Elizabeth was at home in a million-dollar home in Salt Lake City, sleeping in a bed with her little sister beside her, and she vanished. So, of course, everyone thought it had to be someone in the house, maybe her mom, maybe her dad. And 9 months later, we learned it was a boogeyman. It was a man they'd hired who was homeless, and they took pity on him. And they invited him into their home to do some odd jobs, some handyman work. He got one look at Elizabeth and he made his plan. He broke into that house, he came up to that bedroom, and he terrified those girls into A, her little sister being silent, and B, Elizabeth silently going with him. So yeah, the boogeyman does break in. Polly Class, she was having a sleepover, right? And she was grabbed by a man who broke into that house and stole just her from the pack of kids in the sleepover. It was a boogeyman. It wasn't a family member. It was a boogeyman. And then there's Jessica Lunsford. She was in her trailer. Her grandmother was sleeping in the trailer, too. Her dad worked nights. So when he came home in the morning and saw that Jessica wasn't in her bed, he asked Grandma, where is she? And that's when they learned she'd vanished. Of course they were suspects, right? But it turned out there was a boogeyman in this case, too. John Evander Cooey lived in a trailer just around the way. He had come into that trailer and stolen her out of her bed, taken her to his trailer, raped her for days, and then buried her alive in his yard. John Evander Cooey was sentenced to death. There are so many aspects to that story that are so incredibly unsettling. I'm going to do a podcast on the Jessica Lunsford story. That'll be dropping in a little while. Keep your eyes peeled for that. But the moral here is, when kids disappear and there's just no explanation, sometimes it really is the boogeyman. At least in several of the cases I've covered, it's the boogeyman. I could go on and on. But in the 6 months since Lily and her brother Jack vanished, hundreds of searchers have combed through the woods. They've looked through the creeks. They've dredged the lakes. Cadaver dogs have looked. Helicopters have hovered. Drones have taken part in the searches. Every asset has been dispatched to help find these kids. And yet, somehow, there's barely a sign of these two young children. The RCMP say it is still possible that they wandered off, but with no evidence to prove that or anything else, it's a theory that raises more questions than answers. How did two kids just simply disappear? Where did they go? And how, after all of this time, has not a single piece of evidence shown a pathway to bring them home, or at least find justice if they're never coming home? If you know anything about the whereabouts of 6-year-old Lily Sullivan or her 4-year-old brother Jack Sullivan, please call the Nova Scotia Crime Stoppers line. You can call and leave an anonymous tip. It's 1-800-222-TIPS. Easy to remember. 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 1-800-222-8477. I'm Ashley Banfield, and remember, the truth isn't just serious, it's drop dead serious.